fans. How you doing? This is Bumpy Martinez with another episode of WiffleCast. Gonna have Kyle Van Slossinger on next, also known as Kayvon, for those of you that have trouble like myself pronouncing his last name. Kayvon's one of the most dominant starters in the league. He's just straight nasty, with filthy with his pitches. Kayvon came into the league when he was, I think, 14 years old. So there's something we can go into and find out, you know, the transition. Kayvon coming up on WiffleCast.
Hello.
Kayvon, what's up, man?
How's it going?
All right. Hey, are you the youngest player in the Palisade Majors?
Yes, I am. I'm currently 18 years of age. I'm going to be 19 next month.
Now, how old were when you started in the Palisades?
I was actually 13 when I first came to spring training. My first game, I was 14.
Okay, so you were 14. That was in 2013 with the Marlins, is that right?
Yeah.
Now, that first season, that was your toughest season. You threw 40 innings, and you had an ERA that was kind of high, very high by your standards. It was a 6.57 ERA. Then the following years, when you really got, you know, you had a 1.73 ERA in 2017. Can you explain to me now maybe what the difference was that first year, why it was so difficult that first year you were pitching?
Yeah, so basically, when I first came into the league, I was throwing a whole bunch of different pitches that I wasn't able to command as well. Like, I was able to throw the screw, the drop, the riser, all different kinds of pitches, but I wasn't able to command them for strike. And that's kind of a big reason why my ERA was skyrocketed that year, was the main factor due to the walks and just not being able to command the pitches that I wanted.
Okay, so as you gained control and you had better command, it pretty much made you much more effective.
Yeah, definitely.
In 2014, you played with the A's, and you had Jordan Robles and Avalon as teammates that year.
Yeah.
How did that season go, that 2014 season for you?
Well, I definitely think I made a huge improvement from 2013 to 2014. I was able to cut down on my walks. I was able to command some of my pitches better, such as the riser and the drop. And I just became more comfortable throwing a wiffle ball, being a baseball player all my life. It just became more natural being able to throw a wiffle ball for strikes. And I got more comfortable as the season progressed. And that's why I was able to make an improvement that year.
2016, the year of the Super Draft, I remember you lobbying for ownership. How old were you at then? That means you were probably about 16 years old?
Oh, I was 17.
17? And yeah. I remember there was some doubt as to whether you'd be able to manage a team just being 17 years old. You know, you came in, you did a great job. You had a winning season. I remember you picked Wishman with your number one pick. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you guys had a pretty good season. How was it playing with Wishman that first year? One of the best hitters in the game.
Wishman definitely provided the majority of the offense. I think that was a good reason why I had a lot of wins that year. I either had like 11 or 12. I think you could definitely credit some of those to Wiffman being able to hit the ball out of the park.
That year you were 14-8, and last year you had another 14-8 season. Last year you had Jordan Robles. You ended up you made some trades. You traded Wiffman. How'd you get Jordan Robles on your team?
Yeah, so basically what happened was Wiffman wanted to move. He wanted to be on a different team. So basically, Brett actually had the number one pick, and he offered to trade his number one pick for Wiffman, and so we ended up doing that deal. So I had the number one pick, and that's how Wiffman's on the Dodgers now.
And then you ended up drafting a Jordan Robles.
No, and then basically what ended up happening was Scott Fleeser ended up messaging me because he wanted the number one pick to draft either his brother or his cousin, I forget which one, but Matt Fleeser. He wanted to get Matt Fleeser, and he was offering to give up Jordan to get the number one pick from me. So basically that's how it went down.
So the Mariners got the first overall pick, and then you got Jordan in the trade.
Yeah.
Now, you guys just missed out on going to the big show this past season.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely tough.
You came up one game short. Can you tell me a little bit about that series, what you remember about the series that you had in the semifinals?
Yeah, so basically the Giants won the first game on a walk-off single by Phil. And then game two, we ended up winning that. I threw a shutout and hit the home run in the first inning. And we won that game 1-0. And then in game three, I kind of fell apart. It was getting hot. It was really just struggling to just maintain my cool, just being so hot on the mound. And I ended up giving up the homer to Phil. And I got pulled just because I was just gassed from all the heat exhaustion. I should have definitely had my water that day. But what are you going to do?
That game three now, you guys were split. The Giants had one win. You had one win. You had Jordan Robles on the team. He threw game one. You threw game two. How was it decided? Who would pitch the deciding game, game three?
Going into the playoffs, we had a strategy, me and Jordan, that for round one against the Expos, I would throw game one, and then Jordan would throw two and three. And then the semifinals against the Giants, if we made it that far, which we did, Jordan would throw game one, and I would throw two and three. And if we made it to the finals, which we obviously didn't, I would have thrown game one, and then Jordan probably would have thrown two and three. So,
okay, so it was predetermined already who was going to throw that game three. You guys,
yeah,
you guys
much,
stick
yeah.
to the schedule. What do you throw, Kayvon? What's your arsenal when you know on the carpet?
All right, well, first of all, the main pitches I throw are obviously the drop, the screwball, the riser. Those are, I'd say those three are my primary go-to, most consistent pitches. And then I have a bunch of different other pitches in my arsenal that may not be as consistent, like I don't throw them as often, such as like a super curve or like a slider, like a scuff slider. And like a knuckle curve, and maybe like some off speed here and there, and that's definitely something I'm trying to work on this off season. Just trying to be able to command those different pitches and have the hitters guessing, as opposed to just trying to wait on one of those pitches that I most consistently throw, like the screwball or the drop.
What's expected of the Padres in 2018?
A championship, nothing less.
This year, this year you're winning that last game, huh?
Yeah.
Any addition to the roster, or are you going with the same roster as last year?
We were actually thinking of adding a fourth, but for now I think we're just going to roll with the three guys. I mean, the roster size, the way it is now, you got to have four players on your roster. I mean, we might pick someone up in the draft to have four on our roster, but we're mainly just going to roll with me, Jordan, and Sean for the season.
Now, I noticed that Sean has been pitching less and less. Obviously, on a team with you and Jordan, he doesn't need to pitch that much.
Yeah.
But it seems like a perfect fit because Sean at times has trouble, with his pitching. And being that he doesn't have to throw so many innings with you guys, it should really help him out. I mean, he had a 1.85 ERA last year. You guys basically are going to go the same way, like you and Jordan pitching the majority and Sean just filling in.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say me and Jordan are definitely going to throw the majority of the innings. Pretty sure Sean wants to pitch, so I mean, I think he's definitely going to throw a couple games and basically going to have the same strategy as we did last year. Just split the innings with me and Jordan. We each throw a game a week, and then Sean could probably throw like a game here and there, and I think we'll be good.
Now, I'm looking at your career stats, and you've gradually improved as a hitter from when you first started. Is it just that you're becoming more comfortable at the plate, or are you maturing, you know, at an age and as a hitter? What do you think it is?
Yeah, I definitely think it's a combination of both. Just for the time being in the league, I'm going into my sixth season and just seeing a lot of the same pitches and being able to just predict where they're going to move. And me growing and getting stronger, I think that's definitely a factor in why I've been able to improve my hitting.
Did you have an opportunity to play with Whiffman? You think that had any input as well on maybe your approach? Do you have an opportunity to talk with him, you know, in-game strategies or anything, or maybe him giving you some pointers?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that he's helped me. I mean, especially the year that we played together, 2016. He's a great hitter, arguably the greatest hitter in Palo Alto history, you could say. And, you know, it's just picking up tips from such a great hitter like him, I mean, it always helps. You know, you can never go wrong with getting tips from Whiffman.
Well, I mean, you've been very fortunate. You play with Whiffman, one of the better hitters. You're playing with Jordan right now, one of the better pitchers. You've lucked out so far yet with some quality talent on your team. You looking at any tournaments this coming year that you might want to play in?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. I actually might try to Jimmy Cole actually hit me up, asked him if I'd be down to play in the NWLA tournament.
Oh, Lord.
I might or might not. We'll
okay.
See how that goes. And then maybe like a few more, maybe like medium pitch or yard tournaments. I haven't really decided which ones exactly I'm going to make, but I definitely want to do a few tournaments just because I love the game of wiffle ball.
Well, it's either championship or bust for your 2018
yep.
season.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of movement. Guys are thinking of opting out. I know at one point there was a slight chance maybe that Jordan was thinking of considering trades or opting out. But it looks like you guys decided together, you know, we're going to make another run at it. I mean, you guys, you came as close as you could to getting to the championship. And this year might be it. Who do you think are the top four teams going into 2018 season?
I'd probably have to say in no particular order, I'd say the Dodgers. I'd say the Giants. Definitely don't want to brag, but I'd say us and the Diamondbacks.
And the D-backs, which were pretty much those are the top four teams last year as well, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you anticipate any surprise hitters coming into 2018? Anybody you might have noticed that, you know, it's becoming a good hitter? It may surprise some people.
I definitely think that that Ryan Patron on the I think he's on the Brewers now.
Brewers.
Yeah, I definitely think that he underperformed. I think he might be the surprise hitter. I think he actually batted like under 100 or something like that. And I remember when he came up a couple games with us. I mean, he actually hit pretty well. So I mean, he's definitely by no means an under 100 hitter. So I definitely think that he's going to improve, especially when he gets more experience in the league, and you know, when he starts seeing different pitches and when he's able to dial them in, I think he's going to definitely improve like I did.
Who is the best hitter that you faced? Who gives you the most trouble? If there is such a person, I mean.
Yeah, I definitely say, I don't want to say there's one good hitter. I definitely say there's maybe like two or three that I always have trouble with. It'd definitely be Whiffman. And Kenny Rogers Jr. when he played 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Definitely two great hitters. And, yeah, I definitely say those two are probably the toughest I've faced.
How about when you're at bat? You got the game on the line. You come up. Bases loaded, two outs. Who is the pitcher least that you want to face in a situation like that?
Yeah, I'd definitely say Mike Wiener. I remember I faced him last year. I think it was either last year or 2 years ago. He was just mixing in his pitches so well. And I remember just every time I tried to guess on a specific pitch, like let's just say I guess it would be the riser that he throws, it ended up being the new ball. And if it was the new ball, it ended up being the riser. And whenever I swung at a strike, it was a ball. And whenever it was a ball, it was a strike. So it was just really frustrating having to hit him. Definitely throws hard. You know, it's just one of those pitchers that, you know, gets in your head and it's really difficult to hit.
Well, I appreciate you coming, making some time for me for the Wiffle Cast, and I'm glad I was able to get you on the air.
Yeah, I was glad I was able to come on.
Kayvon, one of the best pitchers in the league, one of the, and probably the nastiest, I think we voted. Any awards? Have you won some awards lately in the Palisades?
Yeah, I actually won the 2017 nastiest stuff, and then I think I won that in 2015. I think I also won the most improved header, but yeah.
Well, there you have it. I mean, the awards say it all. You know, I think you're definitely, you know, one of the top three guys that I would least like to face when I'm getting in there, because you have so many pitches to throw, so many pitching angles where you release the ball, and, you know, you have a habit of throwing this pitch that no one's seen yet all game long at that crucial moment. You know, you throw this pitch that you just threw for the first time all game long, and you throw it for a strike, and you're like, what the hell was that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Kayvon.
Yep.
All right, bud. Well, I'll see you soon in the field.
All right, see you later.
All right, man.
And that concludes our interview with Kayvon Kyle Van Schlesingen on WiffleCast. Until next time.